The Clash of Science and Religion. While it is now a moral necessity for scientists to speak honestly about the conflict between science and religion, even the National Academy of Sciences has declared the conflict illusory. Quote, "At the root of the apparent conflict between some religions and evolution is a misunderstanding of the critical difference between religious and scientific ways of knowing. Religions and science answer different questions about the world. Whether there is a purpose to the universe or a purpose for human existence are not questions for science. Religious and scientific ways of knowing have played and will continue to play significant roles in human history. Science is a way of knowing about the natural world. It is limited to explaining the natural world through natural causes. Science can say nothing about the supernatural. Whether God exists or not is a question about which science is neutral." End quote. This statement is stunning for its lack of candor. Of course, scientists live in perpetual fear of losing public funds, so the NAS may have merely been expressing raw terror of the taxpaying mob. The truth, however, is that the conflict between religion and science is unavoidable. The success of science often comes at the expense of religious dogma. The maintenance of religious dogma always comes at the expense of science. Our religions do not simply talk about a purpose for human existence. Like science, every religion makes specific claims about the way the world is. These claims purport to be about facts. The creator of the universe can hear and will occasionally answer your prayers. The soul enters the zygote at the moment of conception. If you do not believe the right things about God, you will suffer terribly after death. Such claims are intrinsically in conflict with the claims of science because they are claims made on terrible evidence. In the broadest sense, science, from the Latin sciere, to know, represents our best efforts to know what is true about our world. We need not distinguish between hard and soft science here, or between science and a branch of the humanities like history. It is a historical fact, for instance, that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. Consequently, this fact forms part of the worldview of scientific rationality. Given the evidence that attests to this fact, anyone believing that it happened on another date, or that the Egyptians really dropped those bombs, has a lot of explaining to do. The core of science is not controlled experiment or mathematical modeling. It is intellectual honesty. It is time we acknowledged a basic feature of human discourse. When considering the truth of a proposition, one is either engaged in an honest appraisal of the evidence and logical arguments, or one isn't. Religion is the one area of our lives where people imagine that some other standard of intellectual integrity applies. Consider the recent deliberations of the Roman Catholic Church on the doctrine of limbo. 30 top theologians from around the world recently met at the Vatican to discuss the question of what happens to babies who die without having undergone the sacred rite of baptism. Since the Middle Ages, Catholics have believed that such babies go to a state of limbo, where they enjoy what St. Thomas Aquinas termed natural happiness forever. This was in contrast to the opinion of St. Augustine, who believed that these unlucky infant souls would spend eternity in hell. Though limbo had no real foundation in Scripture and was never official church doctrine, it has been a major part of the Catholic tradition for centuries. In 1905, Pope Pius X appeared to fully endorse it. "Children who die without baptism go into limbo, where they do not enjoy God, but they do not suffer either." Now, the great minds of the Church have convened to reconsider the matter. Can we even conceive of a project more intellectually forlorn than this? Just imagine what these deliberations must be like. Is there the slightest possibility that someone will present evidence indicating the eternal fate of unbaptized children after death? How can any educated person think this anything but a hilarious, terrifying, and unconscionable waste of time? When one considers the fact that this is the very institution that has produced and sheltered an elite army of child molesters, the whole enterprise begins to exude a truly diabolical aura of misspent human energy. The conflict between science and religion is reducible to a simple fact of human cognition and discourse. Either a person has good reasons for what he believes, or he does not. If there were good reasons to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, or that Muhammad flew to heaven on a winged horse, these beliefs would necessarily form a part of our rational description of the universe. Everyone recognizes that to rely upon faith to decide specific questions of historical fact is ridiculous. That is, until the conversation turns to the origin of books like the Bible and the Quran, to the resurrection of Jesus, to Muhammad's conversation with the Archangel Gabriel, or to any other religious dogma. It is time that we admitted that faith is nothing more than the license religious people give one another to keep believing when reasons fail. While believing strongly, without evidence, is considered a mark of madness or stupidity in any other area of our lives, faith in God still holds immense prestige in our society. Religion is the one area of our discourse where it is considered noble to pretend to be certain about things no human being could possibly be certain about. It is telling that this aura of nobility extends only to those faiths that still have many subscribers. Anyone caught worshipping Poseidon, even at sea, will be thought insane. Truth be told, I now receive emails of protest from people who claim, in all apparent earnestness, to believe that Poseidon and other gods of Greek mythology are real.